GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. This is the George Hale Rick Tyler Show. George on vacation in FLA. Our guest co-host behind the bulletproof glass in spacious Studio 7A, former state senator, Penobscot County Commissioner Andre Cushing. It's good to see you. How are you, my friend?
Good morning, Rick. You look marvelous this morning.
That is just the reflection of you behind the bulletproof glass. I understand that.
I'm in the George chair. This is pretty awesome.
I sprayed it down with Lysol before you got in this morning.
Okay.
Our WVOMFM.com question of the day. People are responding to it already. And if you follow us on Twitter or friends on Facebook, you see the question before it comes out your radio. Should more lenient punishments be among solutions to ease jail crowding in Maine? And we asked that question as a foothold for a conversation with you, Andre, in your role as Penobscot County Commissioner. Maybe you could take us back and bring us up to speed on the efforts to see a new jail facility that we are told is desperately needed in Penobscot County.
Well, thank you, Rick. It's good to be here. And we don't want to build a jail. We want to build a correctional facility.
You see, that takes me back. We used to have the Bureau of Prisons in Maine. Mm-hmm. And it used to be, I guess, people thought a deterrent. I don't want to go to prison. But now it's the Department of Corrections, meaning we're going to take you in and try to make you into a productive citizen.
Well, here's the issue, and hopefully the sheriff's not listening this early because his head would have just exploded when you asked that poll question.
I'll save it because he's on tomorrow in the Newsmaker's Hour.
Well, he may be ready to talk about that then, but we don't jail people. I hesitate to say this because it doesn't want to encourage people, but we don't jail people for some of the more common garden variety crimes.
Okay.
We have a pre-release program. We have diversions that the DA, our DA works very effectively to sort out those people.
Are those the alternative sentencings we hear about?
Well, yeah.
Sort of?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's a couple different things that go on. There's the pre-trial program where people don't get sent to jail for certain things. Let's say you might have written a bad check. You might mm-hmm. have shoplifted once. You might have done some driving after a festive night at one of the local restaurants and got pulled over,
Okay. Which
is not good. But we don't put those people in jail cells if we don't have to.
Sidebar, Your Honor.
Yes.
If someone commits one of those lesser offenses that you just mentioned, and then if we come down on them and make them do some serious time for it, that might dissuade them from doing it again.
Well, it may. But there are also issues because of legislation and because of what happens in your work, in your family life, if you are arrested and charged with a crime.
You lose your car, you can't provide for your family. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, those are some of the things that...
Let me play the other side on you. Okay, well, that's not my problem, that's yours, because you made the bad decision and you need to learn your example now or you're just going to repeat it later.
However, if you have people who compound their situation because they lose their job or they end up in a situation where they're now losing the opportunity to improve themselves, mm-hmm. particularly, let's say, younger people or folks who may be in a situation in life where they don't have the type of encouragement. We live in a society where you don't have as
Understood.
Much nuclear family. So,
and for the record, let me say, I'm discussing the other side. I want to lean toward mercy and grace than on punishment and sometimes justice with a capital J when it's perhaps not necessary in its most stringent form.
You're playing the devil's advocate.
Okay.
In this case, I remember something that was said many years ago by our last DA, Chris Almy, when asked about juvenile issues, but it relates to a lot of people now. He said, we try to be corrective before we're punitive. And I think that's where society hopes to go. We all are human. We all make some mistakes. Some of them do deserve time in incarceration. But the challenge we face in Penobscot and other counties they're facing right now is those people incarcerated have a whole basket of other issues besides mm-hmm. just...
Before we get to the other issues that we know they're facing, mm-hmm. and Troy has told us, again, the phrase is that he is running the largest mental health facility in the state of Maine, and it's not technically licensed.
And substance abuse now.
Exactly. And the question is this, if some of these alternative sentencing concepts, some of these ideas have been in place now, why are we still crowded?
Because a large percentage of that population is people who do have mental health and substance abuse issues.
So I guess if not for these alternative sentencing programs, we would truly be bursting at the seams.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we are rated for 157 inmates at the Penobscot County Jail. Mm-hmm. We average between 160 and 185 in-house every night. We take a nightly population. We also board prisoners out at other facilities in Maine. Two Bridges down in Lincoln Sagadahawk, some of the other jails in our area will help us out when they have bed space, and they have been very helpful. We have great appreciation for those counties.
How come their jails aren't overcrowded, but ours is?
Well, remember, Bangor is a major population center. Mm-hmm. It is the most northerly jail, and so there is and we're a big county. I mean, geographically as well. So there are situations that bring people to town where they sometimes get arrested. There's beautiful venues down on Main Street that people regularly come to, and occasionally they engage in activity that calls the police to those venues. Mm-hmm. There are people who come to our city, and not to slide too far into this, but there are people who come up here to sell things that are not allowed to be sold by law. And sometimes, fortunately, they get caught before they do damage, and they end up in our jail. Sometimes they don't get caught soon enough, and they create really heinous situations, as you saw with some murders that have taken place. They end up in jail, and should, in my opinion, end up in jail.
I wish there was some way that if someone was, for instance, muling drugs, my term muling, and they ended up committing a crime here, why can't we send them back down to where they picked up the drugs in the first place and have them incarcerate them down there instead of having to incarcerate them up here?
Because the crime was found to happen here, so they have, under our system of government and justice, the right to...
That's just me wishing.
Yep, I understand.
That's me searching for a solution here.
Well, there were anecdotal stories about people in the past that would show up in Bangor or other Portland, other Maine cities, that got a one-way bus ticket from some other state south of us to send them here because they didn't want them in their communities for various reasons.
So we have the problem that we have.
Right.
We have a jail that is exceeding its bed space, and they are suffering from maladies that some are of their own choice, and some were given to them in life's lot.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a variety of problems there. It's not just the number of people in jail. It's the conditions that they're in. It's the structure of the current facility that was last renovated in 1987. And there are the pressures of how do we deal with some of those problems in-house rather than having to take those people to a medical or health care appointment outside of the jail, which requires sometimes two officers to accompany that person, which puts a pressure on the staffing when you already are struggling to fill all your slots. So there's a layered effect. What I didn't also mention, in addition to the 160 to 180 in-house and the 60, you know, on average that we have boarded out, which if you add that up is about 250, 260, 220, 230.
Okay.
And then you take the average of 80 people that are in the pre-release program. Those are people that are doing alternative sentencing that didn't end up in jail. Now you're talking about a significant population that's generally in excess of what our approved bed space is or inmate count is.
We're talking with Penobscot County Commissioner Andre Cushing, guest co-host in SS7A, as we talk of the jail overcrowding. Overcrowding, by the way, has become an accepted term, even though I don't think you'll find it in Merriam-Webster necessarily. Give me creative license here just for a second. Disney movie, 1972, called Snowball Express.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And in it, a guy inherits a ski chalet, quits his job, goes. And eventually, along with all of his kids, he finds the way to get the thing up and running. One of the things they have to do is they have to get this monster of an engine to the top of the mountain in order to serve as what will be the ski lift.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all puzzled on how are they ever possibly going to do this? How are they going to get this up this hill? And finally, the youngest kid says, well, if it's strong enough to run a ski lift, it's strong enough to pull itself up the hill.
Mm.
Oh, and the light comes on.
Yes.
We have all of these people that are now incarcerated, brought in. Is there no way for them to pull their own weight? Is there no way for them to contribute back to society during their time of incarceration as they're receiving treatment to help unload the burden of debt on the taxpayers that are going to have to shell out more money in order to build the facility that's necessary to house them?
Well, there's two parts to that. Number one, there are rules or statutes that prevent us from using inmate labor, if that's where you were going. Yeah, with
I'm not
that.
Asking for a chain gang yep. necessarily, okay? Yep. And I know if George were here, he would say, you want to lock him up? No, I'm looking for some way to solve a problem that's not going away.
The other problem is, again, the large percentage of the people that we do have to house have issues. And that's very broad, but there are sometimes issues where they cannot function as effectively as maybe you and I can on certain days. Let me be
my grandfather for a moment, okay? Mm-hmm. They can still push a broom.
Yes, and there are some very good community programs. We have provided services to a number of communities around the Penobscot region, painting, carpentry. It has created skills that have helped some of these people as they've moved out of our care. But again, you have some people who, because of mental health issues or substance use issues, the pool of those people that we used to use for that stuff are in the alternative sentencing program, those 60 to 80 people. And some of them have gone into, you know, the weekend programs where they have done work at schools or community, you know, buildings in some cases. But Sheriff Morton can talk more in detail about mm-hmm. that. The reality is we're down to the meat and the muscle of the problem now. We're not dealing with the excess or the alternatives. Those people have for some period of time been out of the jail building itself. Mm-hmm. They've been in a program. They mm-hmm. still a responsibility of the sheriff's department, but they are not housed at night in the confines of Penobscot County Jail.
If we took away the drug issue,
oh, please,
would that be? I don't want to call it the magic bullet, but would it be pretty much?
No, because
the solution.
We as a society made a decision to take people out of mental institutions and put them into alternative programs that didn't get funded, and for tragically a lot of folks they are now on the streets or they're now housed in places where they are not as well supervised as they could be. And sometimes that creates problems that puts them back in jail.
I'm not seeing a solution here. I'm not seeing a light here at the
end
of this tunnel.
There are a lot of people, very passionate, compassionate people, folks at the barn, folks at some of the social service agencies that provide resources and support for many of these people. And there are some great success stories. I mean, we go over to the barn, we see people there at the dinners and at the meetings who have turned their lives around. There are some outstanding faith-based programs. Calvary Chapel and other churches are running some very effective ministries.
What's Calvary? Seven Oaks? Is that Calvary Chapel's program?
I believe that's what it's called.
Seven Oaks. And at least Pastor Ken Graves has talked about the success of that program compared to what some of the federally mandated programs are.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.